Happy Easter, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to continue our study through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we are in section 668. We have finally gotten to the point where we are looking at Article 7 of the Apostles' Creed, where we declare that from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And we begin to look at the second coming and what we believe about that second coming and how it relates to what we understand of his ascension. Because where he ascended to is where he's coming back. We established that yesterday. And that's something for us to ponder as we move forward. But as I've been reminding you guys for the last couple days, we have our website up and running again. And it's got a convoluted history. It goes back to 2005 when I first started the website and actually bought the domain. And then after different changes in life and different things I was going through, it just sat there and was something that I had basically parked for years on end and tried to reuse for different things and allow other people to repurpose in different ways. And nowadays it's back. I got it all up and running, email back working, got the podcast listed on there so you can see the most recent episodes and be able to look at the podcast downloads for your Apple and iPhones and Android phones and so forth. So the podcast is there at dtesh.com. That's dtesh.com. You know it by looking at what our podcast is listed here as. It's the same letters, dtesh.com, and that'll take you to the podcast. And what we have linked there, we have linked this podcast. We have our Amazon links so that you can see all five of the books that I currently have published on Amazon and are selling. We have the Teespring t-shirts that we are starting to create. And they've been there for a little while. It's just I haven't linked them to anything, and it's been sitting there for a couple months just not doing anything. Eventually, we're going to go into other items like mugs, have sweatshirts, hoodies and stuff like that that'll also go, maybe even pillows or something like that. Not exactly sure exactly all where I'm going with all that, but it is there as an opportunity to bring in revenue so that you're not donating or anything like that to get extra content. The content's going to be there. And eventually on the YouTube page, which is also linked through the dtesh.com website, we'll eventually have like the devotional stuff, like our rosary devotions that we have in the rosary devotional book that we have on Amazon, where I will walk you through the joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the luminous mysteries, the glorious mysteries, so that you can experience them as a prayer through on YouTube, where I'm going to be using some pictures and some things so that you can have a good meditation and really indulge yourself in that, or just listen to as you're going down the road if you just want to listen to it that way. Put it on your phone, put your phone on speaker, and go from there. That way you can continually be a part of this ministry and have it impact and affect your life. And I'm also setting up a link to Facebook and Instagram, which are already there. I haven't quite got them all cleaned up to where we can start doing conversations and stuff on Facebook. But to be able to see all the different media options that are out there for us as a web podcast that's trying to help you live a better Catholic life and really understand that Catholicism is not, and it's misunderstood this way too many times, as a religion and not a relationship, because it is a relationship with God. Hopefully you're beginning to see that being a branch on the vine, being united with Christ, how we live and how we practice our faith is just as important as knowing what to believe. And that's the two parts of the puzzle here. So that's what dtesh.com is all about. And hopefully you're able to look at it at dtesh.com, get to see all this other content, and hopefully we'll see you on YouTube. Hopefully we'll have all that set up in the next couple days, and everything will start flowing and clicking, and you'll really start seeing it's a bigger thing that we're trying to do here than just talk to you and ramble as I've been doing these last couple months and years to try to build you up and give you something that you can take forward. So without too much ado, let us get into our section 668 today. But first, to do that, we need to turn to God in prayer and begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O Lord Jesus, I adore you, Son of Mary, my Savior and my brother, for you are my God. I follow you in my thoughts, O first fruits of our race, as I hope one day, by your grace, to follow you in my very person into heavenly glory. In the meantime, do not let me neglect the earthly task that you have given to me. Let me labor diligently all my life with a greater appreciation for the present. Let me realize that only by accomplishing true human development that I can obtain divine fulfillment and ascend to you at the completion of my earthly life and work. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we begin to dive back into the catechism. We're really trying to understand it. And if you'll kind of notice, if you're following through on a catechism, we've covered a lot of ground. We're probably somewhere around, I would say, 20 to 25% of the catechism already gotten done and put behind us, and a lot more still to go. I mean, there's only 2,800 plus sections of the catechism. And if you consider that, say, let's say hypothetically 3,000 sections of the catechism, we're almost at 7 at that point. That's about 1/4 of the way through to 28, basically. If you take 7 divided by 28, you got 4. So we're almost at 25% of the catechism done. When we started this a little over a year ago, or about a year ago, I told you you could get through the catechism in 1 year by going through just 8 sections a day. And I've been proving that a little bit through this podcast. Even though we've taken times to stop and reflect on things like Christmas and Easter and have special messages like we did with the resurrection for a period of time before the ascension, and different things throughout the year like studying the background of the gospel message, as it relates to the various forms of the gospel, from the atonement sacrifice to the kingdom understanding, to the understanding of what Abraham believed, to the understanding of the Day of Atonement versus ransom or penal theology, and really getting into some of these little side things that help us inform the catechism. If you just take what we've done of the catechism so far, it should be showing you that it is possible within a year to 2 years, you should be able to get through the catechism, taking it either 4 sections or 8 sections a day to really get into it. And when you add that to just reading 10 chapters of the Bible a day, you can get through the entire Bible at least 3 times in 1 year, the catechism 1 time in a year. And I guarantee if you add that with just praying the rosary once a day and make that your hourly time with Jesus, or in some cases it's only a half hour to do all 3 of those, depending upon how you're doing your rosary, how you're doing your Bible reads and stuff, you can really get more knowledge about this faith than you could other ways. And I really want to encourage you to start doing that. Start looking at that. And that's one of the reasons why on dtesh.com we're linking to the YouTube, so that we can start having like the joyful mysteries being shown as to how you can pray through them more effectively, and using some of the additional prayers and scripture meditations that we add to that to deepen the rosary as part of your daily devotional. So these are the things we need to have in the back of our mind, because it allows us to be the kind of people that when Christ comes back, He can judge us with a good judgment. And that's more the focus of this, that He will come again in glory, that He will come again to judge the living and the dead. 668 puts it this way: Christ died and is living again, that He might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. This is a quote taken from Romans chapter 14, verse 9. talking about how you shouldn't judge somebody because of what they eat, what they drink, what they do, whether they worship on a Sabbath or not on a Sabbath. That's none of your business. You don't judge another man's servant because Jesus Christ is the only one who judges. Christ's ascension into heaven, as 668 of the Catechism tells us, signifies his participation in his humanity in the power and authority of God. His divine power now is united in such a way with who he is as an individual that his human nature takes up a divine understanding. The human nature, which was a created part of everything else, is something that he assumes into his singular personhood and unites in some marvelous way beyond your and I understanding of how they unite to really be God incarnate, and that his flesh and blood now exhibits that same universal trait. And that's why in Mass every day, when you see the body and blood of Christ in the chalice and in the bread, that is because the divinity and the humanity are so intertwined in some way that there's a mixture that brings them both together. It's kind of the whole taking oil and water and mixing them together type thing. You can't mix them together because they're two different substances, but there's other things that if you mix them together, like sugar and water into Kool-Aid, it becomes a substance that you can't really easily separate type thing. Well, it's in the sense of the Kool-Aid or the sugar dissolving into the water to have sugar water, to where the properties of the one become the properties of the other in such a unique way that you don't change the properties of sugar or water, but they mix in such a way that they are Kool-Aid now, you know, with the colored flavoring and everything that goes with it. So that's the imagery or the thought that we need to have when it comes to who Christ is. In fact, that's something that gets fought over in the church in the next, in the first 700 to 800 years, where they try to define exactly how Christ is God and exactly how Christ was manifested or became the Word made flesh, and really understand these parts. There were different groups that would state it in different ways, change up the meanings, change up the associations, and kind of mess a whole lot of things up. But it's in the ascension into heaven that Jesus truly lets his humanity, like sugar into water, dissolve and become one, in a sense, with the water. This is a temporal reality that we can use as a basis for helping us understand and comprehend, but it doesn't fully explain it. It's the limit of our knowledge of being able to comprehend. It's just the example that we can give that gives you the closest. It's not exact, it's not the definite, this is how, but this is the concept that helps us understand this other concept of unity. Just like we can understand that God the Father is a unique person, separate from the Son, but they are of the same substance. They have the same substance. They are essentially God. Just like sugar and water are essentially Kool-Aid. You know, it's trying to give you kind of an example that helps you grasp. It's not a perfect example, it's not an actual example, but it does give you the idea of what we're trying to talk about. All right, so moving on. So Christ is in his humanity assumes the power and authority of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and on earth. He is far above all rule and authority and dominion, for the Father has put all things under his feet. This is a direct quote from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22. Christ is Lord of the cosmos and of history because he's divine. That's kind of the simple thing we could add in there, because he's divine. And in him, human history and indeed all creation are set forth and are transcendently fulfilled. So he can transcend time now. He can be in more than one place. Maybe this is why he was able to walk through walls, Maybe this is the reason why he's able to be incarnated into bread and wine nowadays, to where we can experience him, maybe not fully recognize and perceive him, because our feeble senses fail to perceive him as he is nowadays, because he has ascended, just like the apostles and the Mary Magdalene and the disciples on the road to Emmaus had problems recognizing him when they first saw him, because Mary Magdalene thought he was a gardener, and the guys walking on the road to Emmaus just thought he was some other dude, somebody who really didn't know what was going on. And then Jesus opens up the scriptures and says, no, you don't understand what's happening in the world. Let me explain to you and break it down for you. So that's really what's happening here. If we can really understand it, God incarnate, blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen or perceived Christ as Thomas did, because we look at bread and we know that it is his body, because it has been changed, confected in the Mass, transubstantiated in technical terms. 669 of the Catechism continues, as Lord, Christ also is the head of the church, which is his body. We get back to this whole imagery about the body of Christ, where we are united with Christ in a very real way, and that the church is the body, just as Paul was trying to state in 1 Corinthians 12. You heard me point it out many times. We are branches on the vine. We are not the only branch. There are other branches. There are those people that annoy you. There are those people that probably offend you that are also on the body. They must produce fruit just like you do. That's why we have to learn to forgive, and why it's one of the biggest struggles of my life to forgive those who did me wrong when I was a seminarian of the Diocese of Belleville. A rector, a human formator, a priest that I was put to during my pastoral year, my vocation director on some level, a psychologist that they sent me to, and most importantly, Bishop Braxton, retiring Bishop of Belleville. I mean, I can say that honestly. They've really done a work that really to this day I struggle to try to let go, because there's emotional baggage that came on with what happened during those days. And it has nothing to do with anyone touching me wrong or anything like that. It just has to do with the psychological side of what happened and just things that didn't quite go the way they should have in both my eyes and others. But that's another story we'll touch on some other days. But you see, this is because Christ, as the head of the body, has been taken up into heaven and glorified after he had fully accomplished his mission. So Christ, as 669 tells us, dwells on earth in his church, you and me. The redemption is the source of the authority that Christ, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, exercises over the church. The kingdom of Christ is already present in mystery on earth, the seed and beginning of the kingdom. So right now, you and I reveal the kingdom to the world. We are the kingdom. We are part of the everlasting kingdom that now exists. That's why the ascension is such an important event. And it establishes us as people who not only have access to heaven, not only have a blessed hope to heaven, but are heaven down on earth. We're that stone cut out in Daniel chapter 2 that's thrown at the rock, at the base of the feet of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that breaks up the mixture that's the feet of that statue and begins to fill the entire earth, because we are sent out in a great commission to go into all the world and baptize and teach and make disciples of all nations, teaching and commanding them everything that Christ has said and done. Teaching and commanding, not just writing down and talking about the scriptures, but passing on sacred tradition, the traditions that we have from the apostolic church, the fathers of Christianity, from the Roman Catholic tradition itself, from the magisterium. That's where we're focused on. 670 will conclude this section by telling us that since the ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. We are already in the last hours. We are in that millennial reign now. We don't have to wait to be raptured. We're experiencing it now. Through prayer, We bring down heaven into earth, and reality of heaven and the eternal life is brought into life here. We have to understand how to do it, how to unlock heaven, how to pray it down, how to bring the kingdom into earth so that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, God's kingdom, not my kingdom. I live for him. Why? Because we're in the final stage of the world already. It's already with us. Those people that misunderstand the end time statements in the New Testament don't understand that we are living in the last age. It doesn't change that it's been 2,000 years since the apostles walked the earth. We are living today in the same end time that they are. These are the last days. Because the very next age, from God's perspective, that's going to happen, Jesus comes back, it's eternity, we are glorified, and we go on. We may go through centuries more worth of idiocy. We could go to like year 10,000 AD and Christ not come back, or and explore the universe a little bit more, maybe do some Star Trekking, who knows. But the reality is the next age from our perspective is not the next age according to God's perspective. We are in the end times now. And it's not an end times waiting for a rapture. It's an end times because Christ has ascended. And when he comes back at the end of time, we move into the next age, which is the glorification, the reality of our blessed hope, where we are changed in a twinkling of an eye. That is the hope of Christianity. That is the good news, if we really truly understand it. Because that's what 670 of the Catechism is telling us. Already the final age of the world is with us. And the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway. It is even now anticipated in a certain real way, for the church on earth is endowed already with a sanctity that is real but imperfect. We have a real sanctity today, a real justification, a real sanctification going on, even though it's imperfected, because we can still commit sin. We can still lie. We can still cheat. We can still harbor anger. We can still not forgive. We can still do a lot of things that are harmful to our brothers and sisters. It's not just the big stuff of murder and sexual promiscuity, but those two are also available to us, and a whole plethora of others. But the reality is we are in that age now to where we can experience the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and grow in that righteousness, bring forth fruit unto repentance, bring forth the fruit as a branch on a vine, because the reality of grace, the foretaste of eternity, is ours now. We have grace now to make God's will on earth be known. We are crucified with Christ. We have been baptized, so we have a newness of life. We are new creatures in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away and have become new. We are being perfected and changed into the likeness of Christ, because those whom he predestined, them he also conforms to the image of his Son. I mean, I threw a whole lot of scriptures out there, and maybe you know some of them, like from Romans 8 and other places like that, but that's the reality that's being put forth to us today. Christ's kingdom already manifests itself in presence and through the miraculous signs that attend to the proclamation of the church. You see, it's more than just the miracle of speaking in other tongues. It's more than just healing in the name of Jesus with the anointing of oil, which is a sacrament of unction. It's also a manifestation of the kingdom of God in confession, when you confess your sins and are forgiven and receive a true repentance that comes by grace of God. You receive the reality of the kingdom every time you go to Mass and you go forward and are able to receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Because when you do those things, you're truly blessed.